السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحبه المنتجبين. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this blessing of meeting today and sharing our respect and love for one of the greatest achievement of humanity in our age, and that is the revolution which took place in 1979. It didn't belong to the Iranian nation or to the Middle East. I think all human beings have a share in this revolution, because if I want to summarize the mission, the aims and objectives of this revolution, I can say this was a revolution to call everyone to return to God, to return to religion, to take their faith seriously. In the time that religious people, whether it be Christians or Muslims or Jews or Zoroastrians or Hindus, they were shy and embarrassed to say in public sphere that we are religious people. But everyone got the courage, everyone got the confidence to say that we are religious, we believe in God, and we are proud of being trying to act in the way that God asks us to act. So this is a revival for all the faith people. A sad reality that we face in the course of history is that when people are given a message by God, initially there are people who oppose that message and the messenger. The Quran gives us many different stories about the way that different nations, different people responded to the prophets and messengers. But with very hard work, with lots of sacrifice, with great struggle, gradually people come to believe in the message of God. But because some have not been transformed in their heart and spirit, then they learn how to go back to their own selfish way of life, but now under the title of this new religion. So what we see in the history of Islam is the same. Islam is not an exception. God brought hearts of people of Arab Peninsula together. God gifted them with brotherhood. But this doesn't mean that this was something that they managed to internalize. And unfortunately, after the demise of the Prophet, we see that some of the old things that used to happen in the time of Jahiliyyah again repeated. Sectarianism is a clear mark of Jahiliyyah. Jahiliyyah can be something between Aus and Khazraj in Yasrib, or can be something between different schools of Islam in Medina or Muslim world. Jahiliyyah is the same Jahiliyyah. It can just take different forms and shapes. But those who are not after the names, those who are not satisfied with just being given a title, they just try to be always seeking the truth and committing themselves to the truth and trying to please God of everyone, God of good and beauty and benevolence and justice and peace, then these are the people who always try to avoid sectarianism or any ism which is different from what universal message of God is for humanity. The late Imam Khomeini, with his deep roots in circles of learning, in the houses with more than 1,000 years of history, belonging to a very religious family, and maybe living almost all his life surrounded by Shia devotee people, but he was not a man of sectarianism. He was not a man who was calling for the good and justice for the Shia. He was a man who was concerned for all mustadhafin, for all the oppressed people. Shia, Sunni, Christians, Zoroastrians, Jews. And in the time that maybe was not clear how significant is Islamic unity. Because in the beginning of revolution was so powerful and nothing could resist against the power of the revolution and the leader of the revolution. In his highest strengths, he called for Islamic unity. Maybe nowadays when we call for Islamic unity, some people think this is a tactic. Because we have problems, so we want to get rid of these problems. Maybe for some people this is a tactic, but for Imam Khomeini this was a strategy. For Imam Khomeini this was part of his understanding of Islam. So from the time he was calling for uprising of people in Najaf, in Paris, then after the victory of revolution, he was always talking about unity. If in Iran we had some days, like for example for the victory of Islamic Revolution, we have one day. For certain important historical events, we have one day. For unity, we have 1 week. The week of unity. This shows that how much this unity is important for Imam Khomeini. And we see that today, how unfortunately some short-sighted people, whether it be from inside the Ummah or from outside the Ummah, are trying hard to divide Muslims, divide people of Middle East, divide people of the world. If they were able, maybe they could even think of dividing the stars and the galaxies, because these are the people, for them unity is disturbing. They are more comfortable with seeing divisions and differences and fight, which is quite opposite to the way that the prophets and holy people have always taught us. I thought of sharing with you some hadith about one reason for divisions, for lack of unity, for sectarianism, and for other problems that we face in different levels and different scales in our life, sometimes in family, sometimes in community, sometimes in society, sometimes in ummah, sometimes globally. And that is the problem of asabiyya. Asabiyya in Arabic is different from, of course, Farsi. In Farsi, when someone is nervous, we say asabi. But asabiyya in Arabic means to be biased. This biasedness is the core of all the extremism, sectarianism, and any divisive activities that we see. What is asabiyya? What is biasness? Which can be something that we experience even among very learned people. Even scholars can have asabiya. Religious leaders, politicians, educated people can have asabiya. No one should say, I am exception or I am, you know, protected against asabiya. No. This is something that is worrying and should worry everyone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من كان في قلبه حبة من خردل من عصبية. If someone has in his heart a particle, very, very little amount of biasness, بعثه الله يوم القيامة ما أعراب الجاهلية. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would resurrect him on the day of judgment with the Bedouins of the age of ignorance. Of course, everyone knows A'rab is different from Arab. A'rab is Bedouins, not Arabs. A'rab al-Jahiliyyah. The Bedouins who had no understanding, no knowledge. They had just some customs that they had inherited from their ancestors, and they were just following blindly those customs. Some of their customs were good, some. Like, for example, they were very hospitable people. When they were giving their promise to protect someone, they were very loyal to that. But most of their customs were bad. They suffered from jahiliyyah. Rasulullah says, don't think you are a Muslim who says prayer and fast and goes for Hajj. He is called Haji. Maybe you are like those people if you have asabiyyah in your heart and mind. And inshallah, I will explain what is asabiyyah. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من تعصب أو تعصب له. The one who is biased, or the one for whom biasness is expressed. Maybe you have a leader, maybe you have an imam, maybe you have, I don't know, an idea. You show biasness towards that thing. You are very, very sensitive about that thing in the way that, inshallah, I'm going to explain what is ta'assub. Or if there is a person who allows people to have this biasness about him. For example, if there is a leader that people love him, people respect him, and then people try to have ta'assub about him so that they become, you know, not able to see the mistakes of that leader, for example. Then such leader who lets people to have ta'assub about him, and those people who have ta'assub, Rasulullah says, فَقَدْ خَلَعَ رِبْقَ الْإِيمَانِ مِنْ عُنُقِهِ. That the tie of faith is removed from his neck. So you see, iman contradicts ta'assub. Some people think iman is ta'assub. Iman is not ta'assub. Iman is totally different from ta'assub. I will explain, inshallah. There is a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Which takes us to the root of ta'assub. He said,
إن الملائكة كانوا يحسبون أن إبليس منهم.
The angels had the impression that Satan is one of them. Because Satan, as you know, for worshiping God for 6,000 years, was given this permission to be in the company of the angels. So the angels were not suspicious. So when they saw someone is always there, they thought he is one of them.
وَكَانَ فِي عِلْمِ اللَّهِ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew, even when Shaitan still had not refused to do sajda, still at that time, Allah knew that Satan is not like angels.
فَاسْتَخْرَجَ مَا فِي نَفْسِهِ.
This is a great lesson for us. How Iblis lost the opportunity of being with angels. How hidden qualities which were bad merged.
فَاسْتَخْرَجَ مَا فِي نَفْسِهِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draw out what was hidden in the personality and character of Iblis.
بِالْحَمِيَّةِ وَالْغَضَبِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by putting Iblis, Satan, in a test which showed his biasedness, demonstrated that Iblis was not one of the angels.
Amir al-Mu'mini alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagh explains this further.
This sermon in Nahj al-Balagh is a long sermon. I only read 2-3 lines of this beautiful sermon.
Amir al-Mu'mini alayhi salam says, ثم اختبر بذلك ملائكته المقربين ليميز المتواضعين منهم من المستكبرين.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arranged a test to demonstrate who are humble and who are arrogant. This test was offered to the angels.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّن طِينٍ فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِّن رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ.
So Allah said, I'm going to make a human being from clay. When I complete the creation of this person and I blow into him from my spirit, then you must do sajda. You must prostrate before him. So this was the test.
فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ.
All the angels prostrated except Satan. And this in Arabic we call it istisna'i munqati'. Iblis was not one of the angels, but because he was always with them, so he is excluded.
اِعْتَرَضَتْهُ الْحَمِيَّةُ.
That biasness attacked Iblis. Something which was hidden, but not active. It was triggered by the test. Many of us have hidden problems. We just need someone to trigger them. May Allah keep us away from calamities and the times of crisis. Because when the calamities come, then those bad qualities which are hidden can be triggered. So sometimes you see a nice person becomes a wolf. Sometimes people by power are triggered. Sometimes people by poverty are triggered. But the main thing is to be worried about those hidden qualities.
Then Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam says, فَافْتَخَرَ عَلَىٰ آدَمْ بِخَلْقِهِ وَتَعَصَّبَ عَلَيْهِ لِأَصْلِهِ.
Then he said, I am better because I am created from fire, and he is created from clay. So he had this ta'assub, this biasness towards what he was created from. Fa'aduvullah. This is a very important sentence. Fa'aduvullah imamul muta'assibin. Who is the leader of muta'assibin? Who is the leader of the biased people who cause division and sectarianism and extremism? Amirul Mu'minin says, Satan. Imamul muta'assibin wa salaful mustakbirin. So, there is a satanic quality, and no one should feel immune. No group, no sect, no religion, no community, no class of people. There is a disease. There is a vice. There is a vicious quality which can exist in everyone. And that is arrogance. That is biasness towards yourself and what belongs to you. So ta'assub comes from arrogance, from ego. If that ego is not removed, if instead of ego, love for God and for the truth are not planted, today or tomorrow, you would see that ta'assub comes out. You see, sometimes people have fight between two religions, sometimes between two branches of the same religion, even sometimes before a problem that comes, you see people of the same branch, from the same mazhab, from the same denomination, again are divided. There is no limit for that. So what I would like to call upon is all of us, especially religious leaders, religious scholars, teachers, active members of the community, parents, educators, teachers, in our own development and in the way we want to develop our community and our families, we try to be people who are only concerned about the truth, which is one. About God, who belongs to everyone. If our focus is on God and truth, and then anything else is given its due significance based on the relation that has with God and truth, we would be able to block the way for different waves of extremism and sectarianism. It is in God that we can unite. It is in God that we can have eternal peace, unity, brotherhood. It is in God that we don't have any shortage, any lack of resources, anything to fight. In God the Almighty, we can find whatever we want. In God the Almighty, we can find what can quench our thirst and what can give eternal peace and tranquility to all of us. I would like to thank all of you, brothers and sisters, who have come to this meeting today. Some of you have come from other towns and cities, from far distances. From bottom of our heart, we thank you. And I would like especially to acknowledge the presence of our scholars and ulama from different Islamic centers, and also our great Sunni brothers and leaders who have come from different towns, in particular from Birmingham. Your presence here is a mark of unity. And also, I'm grateful to Father for his beautiful words, for his presence, and it is a sign of unity and brotherhood. What we need to do is to have more often such meetings and such public gatherings so that people can see that we are not enemies of each other. We are just brothers, and we are all children of God. May God the Almighty bless you. May God the Almighty bless all different nations of the world and help them to find peace and prosperity in this world before they find it in heaven with God. Thank you very much. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.